Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ralph Gartner of Volation, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Bill Williams is reporting for WTCW-FM. The New York State Department of Transportation crews began ripping up the old blacktop on Route 9G early October 1st. Drivers traveling between County Route 8 or Main Street in Germantown and the Columbia County side of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge should expect delays. In the spring, Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced an $850,000 grant for the resurfacing of the route through the Pave New York program. According to a press release, the program is currently supporting 91 paving projects and the renewal of approximately 1,000 lane miles of pavement statewide, including at least one project in every county and the city of New York. An estimated completion date for the Route 9G project was not available. And you can read the full story at 985thecat.iheart.com.
Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that on October 2nd, the Livingston Planning Board is expected to vote on a special use permit for the proposed Global Partners gas station at the corner of the intersections of Routes 9, 9H, 23, and 82. The gas station would replace an Extra Mart already at the Bells Pond intersection. But opponents of the plan say the new gas station would negatively affect the nearby wetlands. Now, Assemblyperson Dee Dee Barrett, a Democrat who represents Southern Columbia County in the 106th District in the state legislature, has waded into the controversy. Quote, Bells Pond is a New York State protected wetland identified by DEC's riparian opportunity assessment as significantly stressed, unquote. A letter from Barrett reads, quote, the proposed project increases the risk of groundwater contamination and runoff into Bells Pond and the Hudson River tributary Mud Creek, unquote. The Livingston Planning Board meeting begins at 7 p.m. October 2nd at the Livingston Town Hall, 119 County Route 19. While Global Partners can continue to speak before the board at this meeting, the public cannot. Read more about this story in HudsonValley360.com.
Amanda Freeze is reporting for the Times Union. Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan's proposed 2020 budget totals $179.58 million, an increase of roughly 1.4%, including 1% raises for the city's white-collar workers. Sheehan presented the spending plan to city leaders October 1st at Albany City Hall. Overall, the proposed budget maintains existing city services and programs, anticipating increases in property tax, sales tax revenue, and in payments in lieu of taxes and state aid to cover salary increases and the rising cost of health care and other benefits. Commercial property owners will see a small increase in their tax bill, but residential property owners will pay basically the same as last year. Sheehan said of the proposed plan, and I quote, "I think what people can take away is we've been able to turn the ship," end quote. Pete DeMola is reporting in the Daily Gazette that Schenectady Mayor Gary McCarthy presented his $89.4 million proposed 2020 budget to the City Council on September 30th. The plan increases spending, gives the mayor a raise, and includes a small property tax cut for taxpayers. The budget includes funds for two positions to help address the disintegrating city-owned infrastructure and an increase for needed management of city-owned properties. Officials said numerous trends are in the city's favor, including a projected increase in casino revenue. In Hudson, city officials are at work on the city's 2020 spending plan. The Board of Estimate and Apportionment, made up of the mayor, city treasurer, and common council president, is meeting in a series of workshops over the coming weeks. The city's 2019 spending plan totaled $11.67 million. WGXE is live streaming the BEA budget workshops at our website and via the Wave Farm radio app. Go to wgxe.org/calendar for more information.
Chris Bragg reports for the Albany Times-Union. On September 30th, a federal judge struck down a new state law requiring nonprofit organizations lobbying in the state capitol to disclose more information about their donors. The law was passed at 3 a.m. on the final night of the 2016 legislative session and was described at the time as a way for the Cuomo administration to take on government reform groups that had been critical of the governor. Federal Judge Denise Coate in the Southern District of New York wrote, quote, "The First Amendment rights to publicly discuss and advocate on issues of public interest and to do so anonymously have long been recognized," unquote, Coate wrote. The state law, quote, "sweeps far more broadly than any disclosure law that has survived judicial scrutiny," unquote. Attorney Randy Mastro, working for the government reform group Citizen Union, agreed, quote, "This state law targeted not-for-profit good government groups that have had the temerity to raise ethics issues and try to get the government to do better," unquote, Mastro said in a statement. Quote, "It's blatantly unconstitutional, and we are therefore grateful to the court for invalidating it," unquote. In a statement, Cuomo spokesperson Rich Azzopardi said there could be an appeal. Quote, "Everyone preaches transparency until transparency shows up on their own front door," unquote, Azzopardi said. Quote, "We are reviewing this decision and considering next steps, including appeal. But the question remains, what is the advocacy industrial complex hiding?" Unquote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
John Whitaker is reporting for the Post-Journal. Legislation introduced earlier this year in the state Senate requires municipalities to maintain websites. Senate Bill 4908, sponsored by Democrat Senator James Scopus of Newburgh, would amend the state's general municipal law by adding a new article entitled, and I quote, "Municipal Websites," end quote. The legislation will require municipalities to maintain a website that is publicly accessible and provides important information to residents. Under the measure, municipal websites must contain basic information, financial reports, meeting and election notices, meeting agendas and minutes, and an updated version of local code or laws. The bill references a 2014 Empire Center report that highlighted the poor quality of municipal websites, many of which lacked basic information. The report found that less than 20% of local governments received a passing grade for availability of information and usability. Scopus said in his legislation justification, and I quote, "This report's findings are troubling. In 2019, there is no excuse for a municipality not to have a website that is updated regularly and provides citizens with basic information about the operations of their local government," end quote. In the 2014 report, Columbia County earned an F and Greene County received a C for their respective websites. Read the full story in the Post Journal.
Kayla Harris reports in the Albany Times-Union that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, October 1st, largely upheld the Federal Communications Commission's decision to scrap net neutrality. But the court said states such as New York could set up their own internet rules. New York Assemblyperson Patricia Fahey, an Albany-based Democrat, touted her legislation earlier this year to enforce net neutrality rules in state contracts. Quote, "Today's decision renews my urgency for the legislature to pass my bill requiring New York State to adopt some of the strongest net neutrality standards in the nation in order to ensure that all residents have ready access to a free and open internet, unquote, Fahey wrote in an email. That bill passed the Assembly last year, but never had a vote in the Senate. Governor Andrew Cuomo previously issued an executive order barring state government contracts with internet companies that did not follow net neutrality standards. Net neutrality is the principle that internet service providers should provide access to all content and applications regardless of the source and without favoring or blocking particular products or websites. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors, September 11th, authorized three measures for the county to obtain investigative software for the probation department, allowing the sheriff's office to accept a state grant for child car seats, and for the public health department to accept another state grant for its migrant and seasonal workers farm program. County Director of Probation Vincent Dodo explained at the board's Public Safety Committee meeting in August that the investigative software called CLEAR will, and I quote, help locate people, end quote. At present, approximately 10% of the adults sent to probation in Columbia County have absconded. The license for use of the CLEAR software will cost the county roughly $400 a month. The Child Passenger Safety Grant Award totals $3,300 and covers the period from October 1st through September 30th, 2020. The Sheriff's Office provides car seats to financially qualifying families and installs them at no cost. Information about the program is available by calling 518-828-3344. The state grant awarded to the County Health Department Migrant and Seasonal Farm Workers Program funds farm visits that include screening the workers and their families for various health conditions, vaccinations, and educating them on health issues, pesticide protection, and available social services. The health department provides interpreters and distributes informational and educational material in both English and Spanish. It also arranges transportation to medical facilities for those needing treatment. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Dutchess County Democrats are making climate change a pivotal issue nationally and locally. On a larger scale, the Dutchess County Democratic Committee wants the Democratic National Committee to hold a debate about climate change. Quote, the initial debates held in June made it clear that we need at least one devoted to climate change, unquote, said Michael Dupree, vice chairperson of the Dutchess Democrats. Locally, they are criticizing Republican County Executive Mark Molinaro after the American Lung Association gave the county a D rating for ozone. Molinaro said that in, quote, just 10 months, this county has become a certified bronze climate smart community, joining only eight others in New York, unquote. Democrat Joseph Ruggiero is running against Molinaro in November. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 73 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of around 46. And on Thursday, showers are likely mainly after 2 p.m. It will be cloudy with a high near 55 degrees. And Thursday night, showers with a temperature low of around 49. So there you have your weather update, brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, October 3rd, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill of an evening curated by the Workers Unite Film Festival, featuring a tribute to local artist Bruce Anderson and performances from Brooklyn-based Color Collage, Catskill's Gary's Dream, and Palinville's Potted Plant, plus a screening of Final Cuts.
The webcast begins at 7 p.m. at wgxc.org/listen and is also on 90.7 FM after 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. when it will continue as a webcast at wgxc.org/listen.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
On Wednesday, October 2nd, award-winning writer Emily Sekar, founder of the Hudson Valley Memoir Collective, will be the guest speaker at a buffet luncheon sponsored by the Friends of the Hudson Area Library in the library's community room from 12 to 2 p.m. City of Hudson Board of Estimate and Apportionment Budget Workshop, focusing on the Department of Public Works, will be held at Hudson City Hall from 3 to 5 p.m. Rescheduled September 25th meeting of the Catskill Housing Authority Board will be held at the Catskill Housing Authority on Bronson Street at 4 p.m. The Hudson Underground hosts a peer-led and confidential group for LGBTQIA adults where anything can be discussed free of judgment, first and third Wednesdays of every month at 6 p.m. Slide guitarist and bandleader Sony Landreth performs at Club Helsinki Hudson at 8 p.m. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXE. 518-291-9492.
Unionized workers in New York are praising three recent court rulings that uphold the rights of immigrants. In three separate rulings last Friday, federal judges blocked the Trump administration's attempt to detain immigrant children indefinitely and issued a preliminary injunction against the fast-track deportation of immigrants anywhere in the country without due process. Another case permanently enjoined an ICE hub in California from requesting that local law enforcement detain immigrants based on a flawed database. Those rulings bring some security to members of SEIU Local 32BJ and their families. Union Vice President Shirley Aldabal says the majority of its members are immigrants with temporary protected status or green cards or are naturalized citizens.
They have been part of the fabric of this country for many years, and part of the culture of our union is that of a union of immigrant workers.
Claiming they bring crime and drain resources, the administration has stepped up efforts to deport undocumented people and prevent new immigrants from settling in this country. But immigrants who have lived in the United States for years, including veterans and many with U.S. citizen families, are being deported. To help fight those deportations, Aldabal points out that most 32BJ members have a legal services plan.
They are able to avail themselves of legal counsel, to help them get citizenship, to bring their family members or renew their TPS or any legal assistance that they need.
She adds the union recognizes that courts can only do so much to protect immigrants. Aldabal says 32BJ will keep working to ensure the rights of its membership and of all workers are recognized and protected.
We're going to continue to fight in the streets. We're going to continue to fight in the courts. We're going to continue to work with our allies for just reform of our immigration system.
For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears. The Trump administration's drive to include a citizenship question on the census created fear that immigrants who participate would risk deportation. That question won't be included, but the fear persists. 6 months ago, the governor allocated $20 million for an outreach effort to counter that fear, but while other states, like California, are already distributing funds for similar efforts, Mita Anand with the New York Immigration Coalition says that isn't happening in New York yet.
The best way to ensure that we have a strong census count is to turn to our community-based organizations that can help alleviate the fears that people have around the census.
Census forms will go out next March, and for the first time, much of the census will take place online, which could further complicate the process for many immigrants. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
Students don't really vote that much because it's confusing. Like, you move from one state to the next, you're not sure if you can vote here. And so I think if there's a force out there to give that information to people, they will listen because people do see that there are issues happening.
That was Seba Fahim, co-president of Iowa State University, or ISU, Democrats. Young people have gotten attention from both presidential candidates and political thinkers, looking to increase the 18 to 24-year-old voter turnout rate. In the last election, less than 50% voted, compared to just over 70% of people aged 65 and older. In the midst of more revelations and congressional subpoenas on the Ukraine whistleblower, local organizing ahead of 2020 persists. Both of the ISU political party clubs have noticed boosts in participation. Here's Ryan Hurley from College Republicans.
Our membership in the past 5 years has swelled from 4 to about 90 per meeting. I want every right-wing group on campus to have to up a room size. I want us to all be able to work together, and that's the biggest thing.
Even though there is an incumbent Republican president, Hurley says that Republican students aren't slowing down.
We have to strengthen our base. We need to excite people and remind them that this election is very much important because I think that most of these Democrats do not have the best interests of the country at heart.
On the Democrat side, Fahim expressed her concern with the huge number of candidates and resources going into the primaries.
Personally, I don't really enjoy it. I feel like the general idea that most people have is that there are a few candidates that they like, but overall, they want to unseat Donald Trump. And so for them to continue funneling money into these candidates, I just don't think it makes the most sense, especially when that money is important and needs to go towards the bigger cause overall, which is electing a Democrat.
Targeting colleges and universities, comedian Jackie Coppell is using her humor to start conversations about politics. Here's why.
There's an opportunity to reach people as they're really forming their political minds. Why not go to the very people who are not only going to be voting for the longest amount of time because they're the youngest, but also who are still forming their opinions and give them the opportunity to hear more nuanced conversations. Plus, they're super social and they'll spread the word way better than old people will.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
The Coxsackie Athens Community Band performed at the Athens Riverside Park on June 6, 2018. Here's a little bit of that performance recorded by Larry Stiles.
Thank you.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492. If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store.
FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Acre or anytime at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Schoonover of Los Angeles, California. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and House Democrats spar over the impeachment investigation, and net neutrality suffers a setback in court. We start off on Capitol Hill, where Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has rebuked House Democrats' plans to depose 5 State Department officials as part of the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Pompeo accused the Democrats heading the investigation of attempting to intimidate officials. Democrats shot back at Pompeo, saying any attempt to block State Department employees from speaking to Congress is illegal and would constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. Net neutrality suffered a significant blow on Tuesday as the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the Trump administration's rollback of Obama-era consumer protections. Suzanne Potter has the details.
The court upheld the repeal, so it remains legal for internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon to block or throttle any sites they want and to charge more money for internet fast lanes. Evan Greer with the nonprofit Fight for the Future says those companies spent hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying and campaign contributions in their quest to dismantle basic protections.
They want to be able to control what we see and what we do online so they can squeeze us all for more money.
The big ISPs so far have refrained from anti-competitive practices since the repeal took effect in 2018. But this ruling clears the path for them to favor websites that they own or that pay big bucks for faster upload times. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, a former attorney for Verizon, says net neutrality discouraged telecom companies from investing in internet infrastructure.
Unionized workers in New York are praising three recent court rulings that uphold the rights of immigrants nationwide.
In three separate rulings last Friday, federal judges blocked the Trump administration's attempt to detain immigrant children indefinitely and issued a preliminary injunction against the fast-track deportation of immigrants anywhere in the country without due process. Another case permanently enjoined an ICE hub in California from requesting that local law enforcement detain immigrants based on a flawed database. Those rulings bring some security to members of SEIU Local 32BJ and their families. Union Vice President Shirley Aldabal says the majority of its members are immigrants with temporary protected status or green cards or are naturalized citizens.
They have been part of the fabric of this country for many years, and part of the culture of our union is that of a union of immigrant workers.
Claiming they bring crime and drain resources, the administration has stepped up efforts to deport undocumented people and prevent new immigrants from settling in this country. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
This is PNS. America's unemployment rate remains very low, but that doesn't always apply to people with disabilities. It's an issue Iowa is working on, as Roz Brown reports.
As part of October's National Disability Employment Awareness Month, employers across the state are reminded that many people with disabilities want to work and often need only minimal help to transition into the workforce. Brooke Lovelace with the Iowa Developmental Disability Council says evidence shows that individuals with disabilities can be highly successful workers, but they still face obstacles.
Nationally, there's still a 41% employment gap between people who have disabilities and people who do not have disabilities. Iowa is a little bit better than that, where that gap is only at 36%, but we have a long ways to go.
We all know that drinking water is essential to health, and the American Heart Association of Virginia is proposing adding water bottle filling stations to all new or renovated schools throughout the state.
Studies have shown that kids who have access to filling stations at schools for their water bottles see major health benefits, says Chelsea Bennett with the American Heart Association Virginia.
There was significant decline in their likelihood of being overweight, as well as water helps improve short-term memory, fine motor skills. It's important for the digestive system, muscles, joints, tissues.
She says the American Heart Association is working with Virginia's Republican State Senator Bill Stanley on legislation in the 2020 General Assembly to bring more water stations into schools.
That was Diane Bernard reporting. And finally, one faith group hopes to get people talking about the importance of public schools, as some North Carolina counties continue to see a rise in charter school openings and drop in public school enrollment.
The North Carolina Council of Churches is launching a series of public discussions across the state. Allison Mahaley with the council says she hopes public dialogue will reinvigorate the debate for public schools and get local communities thinking about what it means for every child to have a fair shot at a good education.
We believe we can bring the community back together around fully resourcing public schools so that if people still opt for a private school or a charter school or something else, they can see that their advocacy for public schools is good for the common good.
Nationwide, charter school enrollment has jumped. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, between 2000 and 2015, the percentage of public school students who attended charter schools swelled from 1 to 6%, and the number of charter schools increased from just under 2,000 to more than 6,000. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
I'm Eric Tegedoff for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org, click on WGXC and click on the newsroom to find out more about any of these stories. Michael Goot reports for the Post Star that a U.S. District Court judge September 30th dismissed a case New York and three other states filed challenging the constitutionality of the 2017 federal tax reform plan. New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and Connecticut filed a lawsuit over the $10,000 cap on the amount of state and local taxes that could be deducted on a federal return. The suit claimed the tax law unfairly penalizes Democratic-run states. Quote, there is no doubt in my mind that President Trump's unfair tax policy targets New York and other blue states by funding tax cuts for corporations and the rich on the backs of New Yorkers, unquote, he said. Read more about this story at the Post Star. Nikki Schwab and Bob Fredericks report in the New York Post that Republican New York Congressperson Chris Collins resigned September 30th. The Buffalo area lawmaker resigned the day before he was expected to plead guilty in Manhattan federal court to insider trading charges. Governor Andrew Cuomo can either call a special election or leave the seat vacant until the next general election in November 2020. If he calls a special election, he could time it with village elections next March or with the presidential primary election in April. Read more about this story in the New York Post. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that first responders from State Department of Environmental Conservation Rangers, the Caro Fire Department, Caro Police, Round Top Fire Department, Hensonville Fire Department, State Police, and the Greene County Sheriff's Office responded to a fire on Blackhead Mountain September 27th. Quote, it was most likely due to an unattended campfire, unquote, Ranger Rob Dawson said September 30th, noting an illegal campsite too close to the trail there. About 434 square feet of forest at 3,300 feet in elevation was burnt by the fire that took 20 hours to extinguish. Weather forecasters in Albany say rain for the area north of the Greene County Mountain is about 3/4 of an inch below normal, while in Poughkeepsie it is 3 inches below normal for the past month. Forecasters are predicting lots of rain later this week, though. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Democrat Karen Smith announced over the weekend that she will try again to win the Hudson Valley State Senate seat now held by Republican Senator Sue Serino. The 41st Senate District represents Dutchess and Putnam counties. Smith is selling new Democratic control of the Senate as a reason to vote for her. Quote, our communities need state resources, and as a member of the new Senate majority, I will fight tirelessly to address the diverse needs of our towns and cities. During these challenging times, we need a state government that works for all of us, and I am committed to being a fighter for Dutchess and Putnam counties, unquote, she said. Serino has held the seat since beating Democrat Terry Gibson in 2014, and she also beat Smith in 2018. Nick Reisman has that story at New York State of Politics. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go online to wavefarm.org, click on WGXC in the newsroom for more information and also links to audio recordings and a complete list of local events at wavefarm.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Today will be rainy with precipitation peaking around 1 p.m. Temperatures will start in the mid-60s this morning and climb slightly into the mid-70s by 11 a.m. Afternoon temperatures drop to the low 60s by dark. Overnight temperatures keep dropping into the upper 40s. Tomorrow only makes it back up into the low 50s and will be rainy all day. Be sure to have jackets and umbrellas at the ready. In extreme circumstances, wet clothes at those temperatures will suck the heat out of your body, possibly causing hypothermia. It's rare, but it does happen. Over on the river, high tides will be at 6:07 a.m. and at 6:37 p.m. Low tides will be at 12:22 a.m. and at 12:37 p.m. Water temperature will be 69 degrees. Looking way up, we see some light magnetic unrest coming tomorrow when a minor plasma stream reaches Earth. Current solar wind speed is 478 kilometers per second at 1.2 protons per milliliter. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity Radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity Radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Emily Shimidis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Hudson Area Library Tween Advisory Council presents an original escape room, Altered Zone, New York, Monday, October 14th from 11 to 3 at the Hudson Area Library.
Back by popular demand, come and play as a ragtag team of friends or family in this original escape room. This game is limited to 15 minutes, and the team with the shortest time will win a special prize!
RSVP online at HudsonAreaLibrary.org or call 518-828-1792. Don't miss all the fun.
Yeah, so come.
All right, we are back at Hilo in Catskill now, and we're joined by Danny Shear. Shear?
Yeah.
From the band Horse Torso. And Mel Flanner, you play with Kevin Morby, is that what?
I'm on Kevin's latest record, yeah.
But you guys have your own band that is debuting this Friday night in Catskill at the new Avalon Lounge. And it's called It's Just Pythons in all lowercase and no spaces. What is that about?
You know, it's funny because when I told somebody I started a grunge band recently, they were like, oh, what's the name? It's either going to be three words or one word. And I'm like, oh, I got you there. It's both. But it just came up really stupidly because a friend of mine who's Australian, we were talking about like some ridiculous Australian story where this woman had found these pythons in her grill and taken them out like it was no big deal. And my Australian friend was just like, what? It's just pythons. And I'm like, well, that's the name of my new band. And here we are.
And what is a grunge band? How do you want to describe it?
I mean, so like I still listen to grunge like it's new. Like so Danny and I are married, and we listen to grunge in our household like it just came out.
It's timeless.
It is timeless to us, and I mean I think it should be timeless to everybody. But you know, we're of the age where like that was kind of what we were raised on, and I don't know why it ever went out of style, and I don't really care that it did. Like, it is the music of my heart, and when I decided I wanted to start a rock band, it was just the logic, it was just what I started writing, and it, you know, in rehearsal, it was always, like, the answer was always just, like, well, just, you know, more distortion, you know? But yeah, I mean, the changes, the amount of snark and attitude, and the amount of distortion and fuzz, you know, Danny's fills, like, there's just a heavy, I mean, like, literal heavy grunge influence that I am fully unapologetic about. And it's funny, I was talking to Chad, our bassist, last night, and he's like, you know, like, not all the songs are grunge, though. Like, it's, you know, like, you shouldn't label it like that. And I'm like, well, first of all, everybody wants to label everything all the time. Like, everybody wants to know what kind of band yours is, even if you can't really pigeonhole it. And I think even though, like, some of our songs are kind of more than, you know, your prototypical grunge, it still is grunge. It's just grunge in 2019, you know, like, just because our best examples of grunge are from 1992 and 3 and 4, you know, like, that doesn't define the genre. Like, here we are in 2019. It's a little expanded now.
Well, I'm guessing you're going to sound different because you've got five different people who have different backgrounds. Like Liam, singer, I don't think of him, when I think of his music, I don't think of grunge.
Right.
So what? And Danny, you're playing, your band is like a math rock band, Horse Tour?
Yeah, math rock and other crazy sounds. You know, yeah, labels are tricky. Like, just even now, me saying math rock, yes, kind of, maybe, you know. It's like, I think our generation and older don't like to label things, and I get that, like, for good reason, but then we're just living in a time when, I mean, there's so much music anyway, but you just need a little, you know, few words or a sentence that can just kind of give someone an idea, because that's just, you know, it's hard to even get the really small amount of time that people's attention will last on any given project without at least saying, it's kind of this, it's kind of that, it's, you know, in this vein. So even though I think most artists feel that their music is more complex than one genre, at the same time, if you say it's these six things, people are like, all right, calm down,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, you must think you're very brilliant and
yeah,
cutting edge, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say, like, It's Just Pythons is grunge, like, Horse Torso is math rock, where, like, it is, but, yeah, it might be more diverse than that and have more to it, but, you know, it's the closest thing we could come up with, you know?
And you're right, like, is Liam... who would first come to mind as a grunge keyboard player, and do you necessarily think of
synth in a grunge band is like, I can't think of any grunge bands with synth, really.
No, but like, I wanted that textural element, and I also, you know, like, I'm real skittish about playing guitar. And I was like, this is like a cool element to add. It takes some of the pressure off of me as a rhythm guitarist. And I love crunchy synths. I love crunchy distorted synths. So it just adds that extra layer. And like, Liam is such a good, like, this is why everybody in town is so in love with Liam and Laura, but, you know, we're talking about Liam, is because, he's so great to work with on every level, so he's a great person to have in the band. But it's just been really, really fun being in my own band because everybody else is so
great to work with.
Yeah, tell us about everybody else who in the band, too.
Yeah, it's Aaron Martin, who is like wunderkind of Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. He's, 25, 26 now?
20-something. That's 20, probably all that matters.
20, way too young to play that well. He's just a shredding guitarist. His band, he's opening, as well as CJ Boyd, but he's opening with like a little bit pared down version of his band. And his music is like psych rock for 2019, kind of psych blues rock, with his original songs. And he is, he gives me my life. I love watching his shows. He sings his butt off.
Good catch.
Morning. You
were referring to a horse, right?
I was. Yeah, I was referring to a donkey. He really does, like, he knows how to write for his voice. And he writes, like, poignant rockin' songs, and then he just shreds like an animal on them, and it just kills me. I think Danny and him are a dynamic duo too, because Danny just hits them skins. It's so good. And then he totally just meets me where I'm at with my songwriting when he's in It's Just Pythons, and has just totally adapts his solos to what I'm doing, and it just makes me, it just fills me with so much joy to hear him shred. And then Chad, I'm going to spell his last name because I never say it.
We're sorry, Chad. We do this all the time with your last name.
DZIEWIOR, who makes Chara amps and is just kind of like a local legend guy originally from the city, plays bass, and he's been in bands for decades, and just knows low and heavy like no other. It was like there was no other choice for bass, because like he's been about that low fuzz for so long, and it's just like he has all the pedals. He's just got it. He's just there. And he's been playing with Blacklist lately, which is just like he just brings that like, you know, touch of doom that I think is like really cool to have. And then, you know, Liam, we touched on, Danny is my husband, which is like really cool to have. It's handy to have in the house when I want to bounce a song idea off him. Or like last night I was like checking out my pedals and whatever, and just like is my fuzz cool? And it's just really nice to have a partner who can let me know. And obviously I'm like his number one fan in terms of his playing and his songwriting and his own project as well. He really encouraged me to get this project off the ground too, and a couple other projects that I've started recently too. So,
and I'm your number one fan as well.
Hey, we're in love! Yay!
So what? This is the first show.
It is.
So you're gonna record after this, or tour, or what is the plan?
Well,
is this a side band, or is this the main chorus?
I am in a big writing phase right now. So I started three projects recently. So I just wanted to start with this one show, and then do some other like local-ish shows. Like I'd like to play in Kingston and the city, because we ping pong back and forth to the city quite a bit. And then see what happens from there. I really, really, really want to record. We have enough material that I really like to make a full length. But what's most meaningful to me is to make an EP love are three songs about consent, because I just kind of happened to write these three songs about consent. They just kind of all came out, and then I was like, well, that's three. I guess that's enough for an EP, and I guess we could call it.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Agra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.